The poet and playwright Tom MacIntyre died yesterday after a long illness. Born in Cavan in 1931, he was best known for a series of plays produced in the Abbey Theatre, from The Great Hunger in 1983 to What Happened, Bridgie Cleary in 2005 and Only an Apple in 2009. Let's listen to a clip from Where Are My Guests, a radio play version of Only an Apple, starring his long-term collaborator Tom Hickey as the Taoiseach, along with actresses Pauline McGlynn playing Grace O'Malley and Barbara Brennan as Elizabeth I.
She just wants us to admire her hands.
They are, Majesty, beautiful hands.
Taoiseach, I'm not a great one for memorials. I am, I dare say, my own memorial. The fashioning of that, I can tell you, was no small task. Yet I had sustenance.
Why wouldn't you?
I have never been able to breathe without the intimacy of powerful, adoring men. That, Two Socks, is why we're here. Your fame, your attested boudoir prowess, your style. Lick the hand if you can't lop it.
Did you really say that to the Pope?
The things people say.
Dead duck in the post to uppity opponents.
Nothing flies like rumour. Wildfire wouldn't be in it.
And a surveillance system that would make my much-vaunted Secret Service look like a slow waltz with a wooden leg.
A clip from the RT drama Where Are My Guests by Tom MacIntyre with Tom Hickey, Pauline McGlynn and Barbara Brennan. And I'm joined in studio by the playwright Marina Carr. Marina, thanks for joining us on this sad occasion to mark Tom MacIntyre's death. That clip, his long-term collaboration with Tom Hickey, a great collaborator of yours as well. The Great Hunger, for example, would have been Tom MacIntyre's version of Kavanagh's The Great Hunger, and then Tom Hickey would have been Maguire. Can you remember seeing The Great Hunger?
I can, of course. I saw it many times. I think I've seen maybe all of Tom's plays. Possibly not the first one, I Winker, Tom Tinker, I think it was called, but all of the rest of them. When I was a student in UCD, we'd head in and they were generally in the Peacock in the basement. And there he'd be, you know, the white head on him. And he was an electric presence. And I think he'll be terribly missed.
When did you get to know him first?
I met him at Newman House when I was 19. There was a poetry reading there, and we, UCD Drama Soc, were doing a few plays there during the summer. So we headed along to the reading, and there he was reading his poems. And then he came to see our plays. I can't even remember what it was we were putting on. And I'd started writing at the time, and he was just always very encouraging and just wonderful company. And you'd always learn something talking to Tom.
And did you give him your scripts? Did you have that kind of relationship where he'd read your work?
We did, yes. And he was a very tough critic. We fell out many times. He was just very rigorous, and his standards were very, very high. I mean, I think the thing about Tom was he was after big game always. You know, he'd done the traditional well-made play. He'd done the traditional collection of short stories and the novel and all of that. And then he kind of exploded in terms of the writing. I mean, in terms of discovery, in terms of the journey he wanted to make. He always spoke about the soul's journey, and he spoke about the roaring soul. And I think for Tom, he was after, I think, capturing mystery and the mysteries and going to the other side and coming back with the gold, he used to say. And I think that was a huge, that was the mission, I think, of his life.
And he wasn't afraid of looking at myth or looking at death straight in the face or exploring those darker themes that you yourself explore in your plays.
Not at all. I mean, I think he saw it all as one continuous journey of the soul. And I don't speak for him, but he taught me a tremendous amount about what it is, how one must live to be a writer, what it is to be a writer, and just the cost of that, and how he was a very disciplined man. He wrote every day of his life. And I mean, the legacy he's left, I mean, there are hundreds of stories and poems, radio plays, stage plays. I mean, there are maybe 12, I don't know the exact number, but I would say about 12 stage plays that have never been staged. I've read them all because we used to read each other's work. And they're all beautiful. They're all, you know, mythic themes. The language is incredible. The imagery. He was an explorer. He was a seeker.
As I said, he was from Cavan, and that Cavan landscape of the lakes and the Dolmen, they all fed into his work as much as, let's say, a continental sensibility in terms of the modern structuring he had in his plays.
Yeah, I think he believed that, you know, we're out of nature and we return to nature, and where you're from has a huge impact on how you see the world and how you view the world. And if you're brought up among drumlins and lakes, I imagine your view of the world is coloured by those presences. In, you know, if they're the first things you see.
And obviously that's in your work as well. But I suppose, was it just something like some other playwright giving you permission to be able to dig into that very local sense of place?
Well, I think for a young writer to be in conversation with the elders is always a good thing, because they've learned so much. They're further along the road than you are, and they can teach you a lot. And also there was a generosity there, and there was a rigour, but there was also a generosity and an encouragement. And he was very good to the young. I remember saying to him once, "Tom, you can't save us all." You know, there was that kind of mission in him to spread the news, and to look at the world in a certain way, and to have that kind of mythic, kind of epic overview of things. And he had that, and he was a poet to his fingertips. I think everything he wrote was poetry. He spoke about poets of the theatre and prose writers of the theatre. And he was definitely a poet of the theatre. There's no doubt about that. I think everything he wrote had lyric to it. It had the lick of the other world in it.
It's key then that The Great Hunger, which I suppose is one of the plays he's best known for, is a play that is built on the work of another poet, Patrick Kavanagh.
Yeah, he was, I mean, he loved Kavanagh and he loved Yeats. He spoke about the roaring soul in both of them, and that's what interested him, I think, and his own soul journey, I think, and that trajectory, and how living and how the decades impact, and how the world impacts on that. And I think he may have been sidelined at times, because that is a very difficult journey. I think there's something very esoteric, and there's something of the hermit about it, and something of the shaman. There was a huge shaman bone in Tom McIntyre. And I think if something is not easily understandable, we can be quick to dismiss rather than giving it the time and the imagination that he gave.
When you say that you would have, he would have read your work and discussed your work and been tough on you, was it about language, or was it about structure, or was it about the intent?
The intent mostly. But language and structure would have come into it. He would always say, "Raise your sights a little, a Cree." That was one of his phrases, and not just to me, but to many young writers and young actors. He was greatly loved, you know, I think by my generation. We'd be, 30 years younger than him. And, you know, he was great fun as well. He was an electric presence in a room.
Yes, and he had a fantastic presence as well, because you launched his portrait by Colin Davidson in the Abbey. That white beard, the white head of hair. He stood out, and he had a great presence, didn't he?
Absolutely he did. I mean, I always thought there was a touch of King Lear about him myself. We used to joke about that, you know, the white head and the beard. And he was very fond of wearing the purple. You know, he was a bit like a king in exile, actually, from the other side. There was that to him.
Marina Carr, thank you for remembering the late Tom McIntyre. Ar yeshde gareva anam.